Good to see all of you on this morning that's again warming up, up and down. It's been all winter. Good to see all of you. This morning I want to talk about a passage of scripture that is pretty familiar to many of us. And it's found in chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah. So if you guys, any of you guys that have your Bibles with you, can open up to that chapter. You know, the book of Isaiah is one of the most profound and literally expressive works in the Bible. Such a powerful, powerful prophetic book. Just amazes me all the time. I believe back in January, when we first started the series, we addressed the fact that the book itself is generally divided by scholars into two, sometimes three sections, which are referred to as 1st Isaiah, which is chapters 1 through 39, and 2nd Isaiah, or Deutero Isaiah, chapters 40 through 66. If the second section is divided, we would have 3rd Isaiah, or Treto Isaiah. For the sake of our study this morning, we're going to assume that the book is divided into three sections. And in the center part, or center section, is Isaiah 53, which is a chapter that is quoted a lot, especially at Easter. It speaks of the suffering servant. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Notice that's past tense. We are healed. And what Isaiah is doing is, he is saying, okay, here's what God has done for his people. And then you get to chapter 54, and in chapter 54 he prophesies that blessings are going to be coming to the land of Judah and Israel because of what he did. In fact, every inhabited nation is going to turn or look to God. And then you get to chapter 55, and he begins to tell us what that's going to be like. That God extends an invitation to all the nations, to all people. And God's desire is to bless people and to work in people's lives and to do good to people. And so God calls people to come to him and look to him. And he gives the invitation, and this invitation is to receive his grace and to receive his help. And how do you do that? How does a person receive the favor of God in their life, the grace of God in their life? How do you and I tap into the power of God to work on our lives? The prophet tells us that what we need to do is to seek the Lord. So let's read it here in chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God's heart is that you and I would seek him, that you and I would look to him. Psalm 105 verse 4 puts it this way. It says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. God wants us to constantly be looking to him. So that brings up two questions. The first one is, what does it mean to seek the Lord? And then secondly, why should we seek the Lord? When we're talking about seeking the Lord, what are we talking about? That word, daresh, in the Hebrew, is used 165 times in the Old Testament. And it means to search for repeatedly. You know, have any of you ever lost your keys? Like you need your keys? And you're like searching for your keys, and you're going to start in the simple places. And then you start looking at the sofa, and then you look down between the cushions, and pretty soon you got the cushions off. And then like you're trying to retrace your steps, trying to think, where in the world did I put those? I mean, when you need your car keys, I promise you, you're going to look until you find them. You know, they're somewhere in that house. You know you set them down. You know you had them because the car is sitting in the driveway. So you know the car got there. Somehow there were keys that got you there. So those keys are somewhere, and you're not going to stop until you find your keys. That's what it means to seek the Lord. I'm not going to stop until I find him. I'm not going to stop searching for him until I find him. I'm not going to stop pursuing him until I get what I need from him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So if we're going to seek the Lord, the first thing we have to do is to call on him. We've got to call out and cry out. Seeking God means calling on God. God, help me. And the word there is kara in the Hebrew. And it's the idea of crying out, of yelling out to somebody. We call that praying. So you so want it, you so need it, that you're crying out to God for only what he can do. It's all your heart saying, God, I've got to have your help. You're seeking him. It also means forsaking our wicked ways and thoughts, those things that are displeasing to him. Look at it in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. In order to seek God with a positive income, in other words, receiving from God, you have to be willing to forsake the things you know are displeasing to him. You have to be willing to give up the things you know offend him. You can't be seeking God and planning on or participating in things that aren't right. That's why prayer, daily prayer, is such a good thing. Because you know you can't be praying if you got a lot of stuff going on. You know you can't be praying and get anywhere if you're not right with your mate, if you've got stuff going on emotionally with people around you, if you've got things happening in your heart, if you're entertaining thoughts in your life that aren't right, you can't seek God. Listen, Lord, I want you. I want your presence. I want to walk with you. I want to be right with you to the best of my ability. I want to be in a place where I'm taking care of following you with all my heart, and not with only a passion for you, but a purity in my life to the best of my ability. So we're willing to forsake sin. I mean, after all, Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Seeking God means looking to him for guidance rather than relying on our own human understanding. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. And this is a prophecy that's given to King Hezekiah, who's a righteous man. So this is to a king who's not seeking the Lord, who's creating plans, who's being smart, being clever, and trying to solve his own problems and his own wisdom and his own power. That gets children of God in trouble all the time. And somehow, we think we can figure it out. We can plan it out. We can make it happen. Not stopping to seek God's counsel, only to have it blow up and have the problem not only be only not solved, but be way worse. Seeking God means looking to God for guidance. Let me give you this quote. I think this is so great. This is George Mueller, who back in the 1800s, he fed 50,000 orphans in his lifetime and never asked anybody for any money. And miracle after miracle happened of God's provision. He writes this on prayer. I never remember it all my Christian course, the period now, 69 years and 4 months, that I ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the instrumentality of the Word of God, but have always been directed rightly. But if honesty of heart and uprightness before God were lacking, or if I did not patiently wait upon God for instruction, or if I preferred the counsel of my fellow men to the declarations of the word of the living God, I made great mistakes. In other words, if his heart was right, and he put God first, and he waited on the Lord and allowed the Holy Spirit to work through the word of God and to work in his heart, he always received the thing he was seeking. He always received answers and direction from the Lord. But if he veered off course and began to do a polling, so to speak, of other people, or relying on his own wisdom, things did not go well. Now, why should we seek the Lord? Let me give you four things. First, we should seek God because he's a God of compassion. Here's the good news. When you look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7, it says, "Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him." In other words, God wants us to seek him while he may be found, because God wants to do good things in your life. God cares about you. God wants to work in your life. Isaiah 30, verse 18, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he rises to show you compassion." In other words, God is looking for an opportunity. God is watching, and he's saying, "Boy, I just can't wait until I can show Mike Casey how awesome I am in his life." But that's true of every person in this room. And he gets excited. He rises to show you compassion. He kind of gets up and says, "All right, here's my chance." Forget the idea that God is like indifferent, that you kind of have to try and get his attention, that God's not interested. He loves to show his compassion. We should seek God because he pardons abundantly, because he loves to forgive. Listen to this. "Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God wants people with unrighteousness or wicked ways in their life to come to him. He wants people who are trapped in sin to come to him. You know what? Here's what happens. There are some of us this morning, and you know that you're not right with God. You know that. And you've come for any number of reasons. One, you may have really come to say, "You know, I really need God's help," because you know you're not really right with God. And so that creates a huge conflict of how you're going to solve that. There are some, honestly, you come because you're trying to keep up a facade that everything is good with God. But it's really not, because you've got stuff going on that nobody knows. So that's playing there. And in some cases, what happens is you really need the Lord to help you, but now you're conflicted because you allowed stuff to go on, and now you're well like, how can I approach God? Because why is God even going to listen to me? And what happens is, when you're not right with God, you begin to think about God like you think about people. So you transpose your own rationalities onto him. And so you start treating God like he would treat you. Or you do what sin ultimately does, is it pushes people away from God. Because you remember, like in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, they're in the garden. They've sinned and they're hiding from God because they're afraid of God. They're afraid that God is mad at them and God doesn't want anything to do with them. I mean, all of those things just messes people up. And God wants to, and what God wants to do is God wants to work in your life. And if you're going to seek God, it begins by you getting it right with God, and you're taking care of those things in your life that you know, even as I'm talking right now in the presence of the Lord, you know what's going on. You know what's not right. And rather than wondering what God's going to do and how God's going to do it, just come and get right with God. Confess your sin to him. Repent of your sinfulness and seek God. Because what God wants to do is he wants to abundantly pardon. Did you get that? Abundantly pardon. Micah 7:18 says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy." You know what? You start to come to God, and God's like, "Oh, that is so awesome." You know what? Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. Because like what you're thinking is, well, if I did this and really what I deserve is, and you know what? You're right. In fact, you deserve even worse than what you think what you deserve. But God, when you turn to him, God says, "I want to show them mercy beyond what they can ever imagine." Come back to him, seek him, look to him. We should seek God, number three, because we need to know his plan. You know what we need is? We need the wisdom of the Lord. One of the first things we should pray for ourselves daily is, Lord, give me a listening heart. Give me a listening heart. Because I've learned through the years, God speaks to me in places. He can speak to me in prayer, and he does, but he wants to speak to me through situations in different places and different times. And if I don't have a listening heart, and I don't have a heart that says, God, I need to hear from you, I want to hear from you, make my heart the kind of heart that is listening to you, then I'm going to mess up. Because God wants to show us his ways. So look at it in Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, most often people say, well, you know, they look at that verse and they say, yeah, you know the deal. God's ways are so far beyond our ways, we can't figure them out. Or a lot of what God does just doesn't make sense. God's ways are irrational. And that's not saying that either. What it's saying is, when you look at the verse, the context of the verse, look at this in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So the wicked has a way, and the unrighteous has certain thoughts. Now look at the next verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his ways and his thoughts, because God's thoughts and ways are not wicked or unrighteous. I mean, the difference between a sinful human being's thoughts and ways of God, ways and God's, is like the difference between the highest heaven and earth. And that's why we need to seek God, because there's a huge expanse and distance between the way he does things and the way our sinful human nature operates. There's a huge difference between the way he thinks about things and the way we would think about things. Our mind is as different from his mind as heaven is from earth. That's what it's saying. But if you and I will seek him, he'll show us his way. Isn't that amazing? Though his ways are so far above us, if we'll ask, he'll show us his ways. And then finally, we should seek God because he's near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Here's what's implied in that verse. It's a window of opportunity right now. And I really felt as I was studying this and thinking about it, this morning is a window of opportunity. There's just a window of opportunity. There's just times when God is doing something. It's not that God isn't doing something all the time, but there's times when God is doing something. It's a window of opportunity. And you don't know when he'll shut it, but it's open for now. And even relative to church services, there's just services where God is just doing something unique in those services. If you're away from God, this morning is a window of opportunity to turn back to him. If you need help this morning from the Lord, divine help, this morning is a window of opportunity. If you need wisdom this morning from the Lord, some of us are facing decisions. This morning is a window of opportunity from the Lord. I believe God wants to speak to people's hearts. I believe God wants to put you in touch with his thinking on your situation. Right now is a chance to seek him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near. Cry out to him. Amen.